Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Your number one Orlando City podcast. For the fans, by the fans. For the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another Orlando Lions Den podcast. Rough week, man. Rough week. I am here with my boys, Eddie and Alex Ryder. Eddie, I'm going to go to you first. How you doing tonight, my man?
I'm doing okay with all things considered. Happy to be back on the pod and talk about the team that we love that gives us a lot of heartache. We got an important stretch coming up, so, you know, happy to be here, and we've been here for worse, so here we are.
Yeah, man. So I recently had to go get some blood work done, and I kind of, like, you know, would almost want to go back to the doctor after this just to see if they said I had high blood pressure now, like, because my checkup was pretty good last time around, but I feel like my blood pressure is a little bit higher after this weekend. Ryder, down in Naples, how you feeling, man?
Man, I hadn't been to an Orlando match in 6 months. I've been to some disappointing matches at that stadium, and that was up there on the list because we fell completely apart. I'm doing all right at this point. It's a sad state of affairs, but I'm relying on the Chicago Bears drafting a quarterback to bring me happiness when it comes to sports, because even Liverpool's letting me down.
And man, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that the most down bad thing you could ever do is being reliant on the Chicago Bears.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, man. Well, we got some things to talk about. But before we do that, let's go ahead and talk some sponsors. You know, pay the metaphorical bills, as we so to speak. First, FieldTurf USA, doing all the great fields across United States of America, and even some of the best fields in Europe. We got a little strip of it here at Inter and Coast Stadium. FieldTurf USA, been with us since the very beginning. Then let's go ahead and go to Fubo TV. QR code is on the screen, and link will be in the description if you're watching on YouTube or listening on Spotify. If you're trying to get all of your football needs, and that's all the soccer that you could possibly watch that's not MLS, Fubo TV is going to have the hookup for you. And signing up for Fubo TV helps the show, so we definitely appreciate that. And then I also have Leo with the Epic Mortgage Team, powered by U Mortgage. Financing a home is scary, whether it be initial mortgage, refinance, anything like that. Leo is your man. He's going to be more than happy to help you out and get you the best deal possible, especially with the way things have been lately. It's definitely always good to go ahead and reach out and find out what your options are. And Leo will give you some no BS about that, give you the best deal possible, or set you up with someone who might be able to help you out. So Leo is the man. And then last but not least, our own man here, Eddie, Comparian Insurance. Eddie, I'm going to go ahead and pass it off to you, because you can go ahead and give yourself the pitch here about all the different kind of insurance-y things that you do.
Sure. I can't do as good of a pitch for myself as Alex does for me.
But Swag, man, he's got you.
Yeah, he's got me covered. Just all things insurance. Home insurance is really got in my hand. I'm more helpful on that. There's custom listeners I've helped get better policies. There's some I'm like, where you're at is good. You know, stick with that for a couple months. And there's someone that actually probably should email me back I think they're kind of in between that I reached out to. So I'm here to help in all kinds of situations. There's usually a solution I could do or guide you to. And, you know, I love being able to help the fan base and just help people that have shared interests. So it's kind of fun for me. And I get an enjoyment out of being able to save you guys some money, or at least give some good advice. So I'm chill, like the way I am here. This is how I am for everything. It's not a pushy thing. It's just for me to help if I can, and make it a win-win for everybody. But that's pretty much it. And even if you just have a question, I'm happy to help. But yeah, that'll do it. That's the short, condensed 30-second pitch.
Appreciate that, man. Eddie, and again, his QR code is on the screen. If not, you can even just message the Orlando Lions Den, you know, Twitter account. We'll get you connected and get you all helped out there. And then I'm going to tease you guys for a second because we have another announcement. I'm going to do it at the end of the show for kind of a cool sponsor opportunity that we got that we're really excited about. And we think you guys are going to be really excited about too. So stick around and you'll hear that at the end. But now into the business, we have to talk about what took place this past weekend. Home against Toronto FC. For lack of a better term, guys, this was a rough one. Went up in the 37th minute through Duncan Maguire. They were playing a little bit of interesting tactics. It seemed like we were running through Martin Ojeda playing as more of a 10 rather than Facundo as a inverted winger on the right. He was playing as more of a direct winger on the left. Duncan Maguire got the start over Luis Muriel. Nico Ladero also relegated to the bench. And Rafael Santos also back into the starting lineup, replacing Kyle Smith at left back. I would say for the first half, it seemed like we got a good amount of momentum and there were some attacking threats that were very decent movement, decent chances. Duncan Maguire scored off of a Facundo Torres assist in the first half of the 30th minute, and then we changed our lineup. And I'm stressing that because in the 71st minute, or we lost David Bracalo to injury in the 16th minute, so we had to make a substitution early. Then we pulled Martin Ojeda in the 60th minute for Nico Ladero. And then in the 71st minute, we pulled out Duncan Maguire and Rafael Santos for Luis Muriel and Kyle Smith. And after about the 71st minute, we really didn't see a whole lot of attacking ball ever again. It seemed like we went back to inverted wingers. It seemed like we went... that there wasn't as much of, like, you know, playing that Brexit ball, as Eddie likes to say, where we're playing it over the top and beating them with pace. And Kyle Smith, you know, love Kyle, but Federico Bernardeschi cooked him on multiple occasions. Tyrese Spicer, who's a rookie from the Super Draft, scored on us in the 87th minute. And Prince Owusu scored in the 90th minute. And that was game. 2-1 defeat, cardiac cats going in the opposite direction. I'm going to go to Ryder first, since this was your first game in a while. Tell me about your thoughts and how you're feeling about this result.
Just one commentary on the cardiac cats thing. You guys were talking last week about cardiac cats in the good way and the bad way. This is cardiac cats in the ugly way. This isn't even like the bad way of, oh, we need a goal. It's not looking dramatic. We just need a goal and we're looking bad. This is, we got schooled and we did this to ourselves. This is the self-inflicted cardiac arrest. And it falls on a number of places. We had our therapy session on Den After Dark, but there were too many things that went wrong, including the fact, like you said, Kyle Smith off the bench just didn't look the same as when he's been starting this year. And Santos was having a good match, and I don't understand why he had to come off. Bracalo, I understand. Bracalo, we won't know what happened to him for weeks because that's how Orlando City operates, but we changed. We didn't go for that second goal. We were content with the one goal despite scoring a second one with just a hair offside and getting it called back. We could have gone after this game and gotten 3 points. And it's not just about getting the 3 points and getting the goals. We got to get that goal differential up, because at this point it's going to be about goal differential if we have any shot at slipping into any of the playoff spots, because God knows the points aren't coming for us. 9 matches, 9 points. It's looking uglier and uglier by the day. And it's just sad because we can't play a whole 90 minutes. The last couple weeks, it's been we come out slow and then we play well towards the end. This one was we came out good. There was a little bit more gel than we've seen up front. And then we completely destroyed it. And there was nothing towards the end, including defensive cohesion. Because, like you said, Smith got cooked. Schlegel definitely didn't have a great defensive play on that second goal. But there's not a lot of good things to take out of this other than Duncan starting is looking more and more like the thing we need until we lose him. So we'll get to that more in stock up, stock down, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably likely. Eddie, you brought your mom to the game. This is her first Orlando City game, right?
Yeah, my mom lives in Ohio. She was in town. I said, we're going to the game. She went. She had a good time. We were up a goal. Then when the Duncan had that crazy goal that got called back, which it was offside, but the people next to us were TFC fans. And she goes, they laughed when they called back the goal. And my mom turns to them in her broken English. She said, do you know what? We're still winning. And that was fantastic. That was the highlight. Yeah. And
did your mom jinx us?
She did. She tells me afterwards, she goes, whenever I go to the Cleveland Guardians games, they lose and they win when I go. I was like, why don't you tell me that before I invited you? Thanks for nothing, mom. So, yeah. Yeah.
Bad juju.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So it was, I have been saying for a while that one of the things I harp on all the time is how we mostly score in transition. We should just embrace it, like, you know, a Brexit ball or Haram ball, terrorist ball, whatever. Let's just be hard to beat and score on the counter on breaks. That's what we do best. When we try to be the protagonist, which I don't even think, this is like the Princess Bride. He keeps using that word, but I don't think he knows what it means. Because I don't think we've ever been the protagonist under him, to be honest, except for like two games and MLS is back, which is everyone talks about. Just embrace the transition game. And today I thought we did. And in soccer, it's simple. If you have inverted wingers, they're going to cut inside. If you have them, you know, strong on their strong foot, they're usually going to cross the ball in. Faku is he's pretty good at crossing, and we've seen him and Angulo switch plenty of times. And this match started that way, and it worked. Janssen's one of the best center backs on the ball. He produced a great ball that led to the goal. Duncan in the box is going to finish almost everything. So just it worked out. There were several balls Santos played in behind as well that created a threat. Faku, it was either corners. Faku just didn't quite get on the end of it. Or, you know, we got into the final third because of long balls. No, we didn't. Tiki-taka through the midfield and cut someone up. It's not what we do. So we were the better team in the first half. But with Orlando, you feel like the way our defense has been this year, well, we have 11 goals in our favor, 17 against. You feel like we need to get that second goal to be real secure. And it didn't look like we went after it. Second half, Oscar switches back to inverted wingers. And our counterattack threat, you know, just disappeared at that point. And then once Duncan got a yellow, which he pulled someone back, which I get, that's a normally yellow, but I think that was his first foul. It could have been a little nicer to not to give him that. But Oscar pulled him because he's really not a 90-minute guy, and he had a yellow. So I said, okay. But Muriel's not a transition guy either. Guy is slow. And then with inverted wingers and that, then it's just not optimal to play in transition. And I thought, given the game state, being up a goal and at home, I thought that would have been ideal to actually have, you know, have transitionary moments. So the only shot we got in the second half that I remember being on frame or threat was Muriel losing the ball, winning it back, and then giving it to Faku, who shot from the outside. And then that's about it. But those balls over the top, I know Toronto adjusted. Those balls over the top just weren't there any longer. It was very frustrating to see. Brekalo got hurt because Cesar gave him a hospital ball there. I mean, just this lazy, it's like 3 yards away. It's a lazy pass. He had to kick it to get away without, you know, having a guy in on goal. And he got hurt from that. That was annoying. And Rodrigo, I I have to look back at the goals. I don't think he covered himself with glory on at least the second goal, perhaps. Duncan, I mean, Dagger got dunked on, but that guy's like twice his size. And Pedro got bailed out. He was in no man's land on a ball, went over the top to Owosu, and Rodrigo bailed him out. And then I don't understand his positioning. I don't know why he doesn't come out for a cross ever. I don't really understand how that second shot got in, given the angle, the cute angle that it was. So it's frustrating. And this is mostly the same type of players, same players we had, same coach, same everything. And we just don't look good. And it's not fun to watch. And I don't care if it has to be fun. I'm telling them to embrace ugly soccer because I like winning. Winning is fun. But I'm not getting either. So
winning ugly is better than losing ugly. And we lost ugly this week.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like you mentioned, you know, Brexit ball, suffer ball, whatever you want to call it. But that over the top counterattacking, just that smash and grab kind of goals, those are things that we excel at. Like, my voice got your strengths.
Right. Why don't you play to your strengths? I don't understand. Well, you know, I guess we got a little techie South Americans that like to play in combination. Okay. But then do better at scheming that or making that happen. I don't understand. If not, then recruit people who are, you know, better to break. Faku isn't like the fastest guy, but he's good on the break. And then Duncan is getting more and more complete, but Duncan's a one touch and shoot, or, you know, one time shot kind of guy. That's what he's great at. So yeah. He's not going to like drop in the pocket and lay it off and then run. I mean, he does it. He can. He's, like I said, he's been more of a well-rounded player this year. But you know, the teams who have just kind of sat in the mid block and counted off of us, we haven't been able to cut them up. And this time we purposely go out to go past it. And then it's working. And in the second half, they made an adjustment. But I feel like the second half, Huntsman outcoached Oscar because they had more control. They ended up with more shots, more possession, excuse me, more everything. Two late goals, and they had a lot. I felt like they were more threatening in the second half. So we lost control of the game, and we created no threat. I just don't understand what led to that decision, what the reasoning was. I just can't. I can't fathom it. A lot of times I try to defend and understand where the angle or where the thought process was. I don't get it. I get taking Duncan off because he had a yellow. I get theoretically Smith and Santos because Bernadeschi almost scored on Santos too, and he's not the best defender. But that what that did is take away that long ball in behind. Kyle Smith is not going to do that on his left foot. That's not a knock on him. Santos wouldn't do that on his right foot. But to be honest, Kyle probably wouldn't do it on his right foot either. But the point is that now it's just screaming, sit back. And you just press Kyle. He's going to square it, all that, you know, or he's not going to get out on the press from the left. And then now you're just pushing us further deeper. And I said it then after dark, the deeper you defend, the higher the probability of mistakes being costly. If you're in your box and there's a deflection or you whiff or you don't take a good angle, that's all it takes. You lose a runner in the box, you're screwed. That's what happened on the first goal. So the deeper we defend, the more defensively we're set up, excuse me, the more likely you're just going to go Alamo style and just take a bunch of shots and hope you pull something out. And this is what we did beginning of last year. This is what we did the year before when we barely snuck into the playoffs. And right now we're 13th and we're four points off the playoff, and that's Philly, who has two games in hand. So it's just frustrating.
Very frustrating. And you could tell how passionate you are about it over the fact that now you need to go get a drink of water because it's got your voice getting all cracky.
Right. You know? Yeah. You hit puberty during the podcast.
Everyone's voice is cracking tonight. What's going on, guys?
Yeah.
Hey, well, speaking of voices cracking, that's the worst segue in the world. Cleon, my man, how you doing, brother?
Yeah, I was really confused where you was going with that, man. I thought you were about to say speaking of crack. I was like, bro, you better slow your roll. I'm straight edge, bro.
Wow. Yeah. And then Cleon's talking to us from a submarine. At least it sounds like that on my side.
Yeah.
Oh, it does? All right. Yeah, man. That game was very frustrating, man. Like, he had everything working and then just reverted right back to what doesn't work. And it was like, if it's not broken, why fix it, man? Like, it didn't make any sense. Even the Dunkin' sub, which I get, it was way too early. Like I said it then. It was like, it was super early, man. Like, it didn't have to come that early. Matter of fact, all those subs he made, they were too early to me.
O'Hara was way early. Dude can't start, and he took him out at the 50th
minute. What are you doing? He was. I don't understand. They were like, everything was clicking. Like, what are you doing? It was almost like he had to get a minutes quota in for like Muriel and like some guys, bro. Like, it didn't make any sense to me. It was like, for what? Those subs were nuts. I was like, right now, why? Like, everything was going fine, and they just came way too early. And that's not a hindsight. Like, we in the chat, bro. Like, we was literally said it then. It's like, yo, this seems a little early, and everything just completely fell apart. And we haven't seen him do that in a minute, man. It seems like, honestly, like with the. Remember that was something he always used to do with we get a little one goal lead and be parking the bus way early, right? And it seems like he corrected that like after the beginning of last season. And he carried it on to where he wasn't really doing that anymore. And this is the first time in a while I that sticks out of my head to where he did this again. And it was like the defensive sub super early, subbing everybody out super early, and trying to shut down shop for freaking, 25 minutes or some crap? Like, bro, that was nuts. That was super frustrating, man. That was super frustrating because of how well they were working at the time. So it was like, I know, yes, it was only one goal, but, you know, we were working on two. You know what I mean? We were working on two, and he was a hairline away from happened to. So that was super frustrating for me.
And that, just because you mentioned that too, like we mentioned the early sub of Ojeda, and like I know we also mentioned that goal that Dunkin' had disallowed, but I just also want to give a quick shout out to Martin Ojeda, because that ball that he put in that Dunkin' scored the beauty that was disallowed from, God, that ball that he put in there was pretty. And to me, like, this kind of goes to one of the points that Cleon was making, I think last week on the pod, is that he doesn't necessarily think that Ojeda can be a 10 for us, because his best chances are usually created from the wing. And that cross that he put in was coming from a, you know, left-sided wing position rather than from the 10. But I don't know, man. Like, I just feel like he does so much more in the realm of chance creation on the field that I you know, I don't know what we got to do to get him on the field more. You know, I feel it's part of the answer.
I thought he was really tidy too. Like, when he was central, he was real tidy. He was metronomic. You know, he was keeping control fine. I thought he was like, I'm like, look, Ojeda's playing like a proper 10. He's going to go wide at times. Who cares? That happens. You don't have to just stick in one area. This, you know, so yeah, I mean, I thought that pass was nuts, and I thought he was just nice and tidy in the middle and was good. You know, sometimes he tries to dribble and loses it or gets a little too adventurous. I thought he was like safe the way Oscar's tens normally play. So I don't know what this guy, I mean, he's got a great attitude or something, because at some point he's got to be like, what do I have to do? Like, I don't know.
Very good point. I think that is a good move for us to go into stock up, stock down from this week. Cleon, I'm going to go to you first, since we're making up for lost time, since you got in here a little bit late today. Hit me with your stock up, stock down.
Stock up. I'm going to – it's weird, because I feel like the stock up should be Ojeda, but I feel like the stock's only up with us fans and not with the coach. So it's like – I mean, I don't know, but I mean, that's where I'll go. That's stock up for me. Stock down, freaking Pedro again, bro. I swear, this is like six in a row.
Yeah, I don't
know what to say about it anymore, honestly.
So I feel like with the first goal, Can't really fault him too much on that one. That one was a hard one for him to get to. The second one, I know a lot of people.
Hold on. Let me back on what I'm saying that for. It wasn't even for any of the goals that went in. It was for the one he made the same mistake that's been getting us in trouble. He just got bailed out this time.
Mm.
There was one where I think Flago or somebody came and cleaned it
up. Rodrigo. Yeah, yeah, no, he was in no man's land. He was in no man's land. Rodrigo came from behind and poked it out for a corner.
Yes, so I'm glad you said because it made me clarify exactly why I'm saying that. It wasn't the goals that went in. It was, and mind you, the second one, that's a little sketchy, but I'm gonna get that one to pass. But it was for the same decision-making type of mistakes he's been making. Like, I don't understand. He's acting like he's a rookie goalkeeper, bro. Like, what has happened? What has happened? It's like, and because it's like, sometimes you'll see where it's a physical regression, and it could be that too, but the mistakes he's had that's really just stood out, it's straight up decision-making experience type of mistakes that he shouldn't be making. And I have no clue what's going on with him.
It's physical and mental. And you used the word last week, and we won't use it this week, but it's definitely at this point, whatever the goalkeeper equivalent of that word is, because he's regressed and he's in a rut where he can't do the same things. And everyone's thinking that, oh, we might need to look on. I hate to break it to y'all. He's going to be the goalkeeper here for the full season. We're not going to bench him for Mason with the amount of money we're paying him. He's going to have to get even worse than he already is before that decision gets made, because we're going to need him, especially when he's gone on international duty. Sure, he's going to be probably on the bench for Peru, but he's still going to be gone.
They're not going to bench him for Peru. He's written in pen as the starter for Peru.
He didn't start for them in this last window. I don't know if that was just a,
because they were playing the Dominican Republic.
Okay. I thought they were playing qualifiers of some kind.
No, that was that's my bad.
No, they were starting other people so that way they could experiment with who else they want to try and bring for Copa America. I don't think Pedro's lost the job there. That's for sure. But
he's trying.
He's doing his best, you know, and by his best, I mean his worst. Alex, go ahead and give me your stock up, stock down.
Stock up is to, I'm going to give it to Facundo because he got that assist. He played all right. He looked good. And I know that's kind of a low bar to set for a stock up, but an assist like that, putting the ball in where Duncan can work with it is going to be a good confidence builder, and we need that from him right now if we've got any chance of salvaging this season. Stock down, Kyle Smith. He's had a good season so far, and him coming off the bench and getting cooked not once but twice for late goals with fresh legs coming off the bench is just not a good look for him. So stock down to Kyle Smith. Hate to do it, but got to do it.
Eddie.
Stock up. I feel like the double pivot's getting better. And some wayward passes with Cesar, you know.
Minus the hospital ball, yeah.
Minus the hospital ball, but I feel like they've been playing better. So, you know, I think Wilder, especially, he started off bad, man. Wilder started off bad. So I'll say stock up for him, I guess, but stock up for Duncan. I mean, what a beast, you know. And man, people are worried that because he didn't get the move, he wouldn't try or something. You know, that's the opposite. This guy bleeds red, white, and blue. There's no quitting him. You know,
those colors
don't run. You know,
tread on me, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, bro. You know, yeah, that corn doesn't husk itself. You know, so I wasn't worried 1 second. He's proven that, but. So shout out to him. Yeah, I think Facundo had some moments. Martin too. So I guess those are stock up. With stock down on this one. I think Dagger quietly had a bad defensive game. I don't think people are saying enough about that. I didn't think he was great. He seemed like, you know, some moments there he wasn't doing too good defensively. Santos, I almost want to give him stock up, but he got cooked on defense. He always does, but that's why I like to play him. You see how he opened up the left side. His ability to hit passes and long passes is very helpful, especially with our crappy scoring form. So, but Bernadeschi almost scored on him, so I won't give him a stock up. But stock down, Pedro's a no man's land. That's definitely one. But Dagger, they didn't give him the ball. I can't say stock down for him. So stock down, I don't think I've ever done this before, but I'm going to have to say Oscar Pareja for the second half substitutions. Second half substitutions and change of strategy. I saw the plan and I was like, you know what? Oscar got this one right. Game plan is working. This is very effective. We keep this up, we're going to score a second one. And then to reverse, to invert their wingers again and to go with the way we were going and just not play long and all of that stuff. Duncan's getting better at holding it up, knocking it down. And I just don't get it, man. That to me, this one was you know, players make mistakes, but like I said, if you have people defend, their mistakes are going to be magnified. So I can't crucify somebody here for, I can't crucify Dagger for getting dunked on by some giant. What is Dagger supposed to do in that situation? You know? So to me, it's just when you see a Kyle Smith come on at left back, you know that they're going to bunker down defensively. When you see Nico come in and run around, you know he's not going to – offensively, there's going to be some limitations. And you're putting a lot of pressure on your team, and that's on Oscar. And so, to me, I'll stock down as Oscar Pareja for blowing it in the second half.
So I had a whole speech prepared thinking you were going to go a different direction about the fact that you guys were all beating around the bush, and I'm just going to say it like it is and give Oscar my stock down because the tactical adjustments that were made from the 60th minute onward cost us
trash.
I'm not going to change that to something else because I think it's perfectly fine if we double down on that because I think that's – like there was quotes that even came out in like the post game presser where there was like Duncan was one of the people saying felt like we dominated the game for the first 85 minutes. I watched it back. You dominated maybe 40 minutes of the game, 45 minutes, and it wasn't the whole like continuously. Once the second half came, control was for the most part lost. I don't agree with that sentiment. But I do want to give my stock up as well to Duncan McGuire. So I'm going to double dip with you pretty much identical here, Eddie. And I think that ends up being a pretty good segue. Speaking of him being our best player, Cleon texted me before the show. And he had something he wanted to talk about in regards to Duncan McGuire's statistics. So Cleon, I'm just going to go ahead and say the floor is yours.
It's not just statistics, really. I think us as Eddie's kind of spoke to this before, and we as like American, soccer fans, we have like this inferiority complex. You know what I mean? And it's like you want to be Europe so bad, and this, that, or whatever. And I think it even boils down to the point to where we'll do things like convince ourselves that a player like when it even goes back to, the whole Duncan move and things like that, you know, you saw what he was doing last year. Team completely changed around to the point to where we went all the way up to the second seed. Right. We're scoring goals under Oscar, which is impossible to do. We convince ourselves to the point to where we say we're not allowed to spend over a certain amount on this dude because he's not a Euro or he's not from South America or he's not what on paper everyone wants our DP to be. You know what I mean? He's come from the draft, the college draft, America out in Nebraska college draft. So he can't be a DP. Why not? Why not? If he's performing better than any DP we've ever had, and that's not an opinion, that's an actual statistical fact, that he's outperforming any DP or otherwise that we've ever had. Why can he not? If Faku was putting up numbers like he does, if Kaká was putting up numbers like he did, Nani, Faku, even DK, literally pick any player that's ever come through purple, and they are not putting up numbers he does. So why is it so out of the question that he couldn't be like we couldn't offer him a DP contract? But like, you know what? Offer him a DP contract. Even right now, bro, the moves fell through. At this point, if it's me, I'm doing everything I can to lock that man back down, bro. And but like, you know what? My bad. I messed up. You know what I mean? I'm like, yo, my bad. I messed up. Let's go back to the negotiating table.
And Claire, if I could jump in for a second, you add in the context of the garbage he's making, right? Right now.
No, he's making, you know, everyone's making more than him.
Everybody's making more. Jack Lynn's making more.
Everyone on this team, even the dudes you never see, the little kids from the academy, outside of, I think, three guys, is making more than him.
Yeah, I think Otero is one who's making less. And there's just a couple. We ran the numbers. Literally, there's three people there. He's, you know, after taxes, this guy is not taking home a ton. You know, he's gonna have more goals than like dollars. You know, like, or whatever. He's just, it's insane. But given that context of what and then they gave him an offer. We did a layering kind of thing. Well, we got your contract. We got your options. Add all that context into what he could be making. The fact that he's producing at this level, crazy. And now we have two buyouts too. You know, not saying bust or not or whatever, but you know, we've talked about it, how we either just get someone for free and pay him a decent salary like Muriel, Nani, these guys like that, Kaká, or we just buy guys for money like Faku and Ojeda, but they don't get paid a ton. So we could make, there's room easily to make Duncan a higher paid player, right, Cleon? Even a DP.
I would guess even a DP. Why not? Why not? If he says, the only way I'm saying is if I'm a DP, why not?
Can I ask something, though? How are we going to convince him? Because part of this is the whole, and I think someone brought it up earlier, how do we convince him that going to Europe to make money versus just staying here, performing well, and starting constantly and making a ton of money? Like, we could throw money his way and make him a DP. And that succeeded for quite a few players in MLS. I mean, but Jordan I'll just
jump in here.
I was going to say is Jordan Morris.
But he also went to Europe and failed too.
Well, he went to Europe and got hurt is the honest thing there. And he played well in Europe. But how do you convince Duncan staying here being the guy? And he could be the guy for 10 years if we wanted to make him the guy and pay him well. How do you convince him that that's better than living his dream of playing in Europe?
I don't know that you can convince him.
It's not money alone, but money's the main motivator in it. Yes. But
yeah,
I mean, you pay the dude, you pay the dude a legit DP contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
And make the dude the face. I don't want to get into specifics, but I mean, in an American sport, in a sport where it's not American, so to say, mm-hmm. and you got the literally stereotypical American guy here, that's literally the dude you want as the face. If you're trying to market this team to this city and this country, honestly.
All I heard there is you want to call it, is change the name of the stadium to American Runs on Duncan Stadium or Orlando Duncan Stadium.
Yeah, and look at our owners, the Vikings. And I mean, Duncan fits right in with the Kirk Cousins and JJ McCarthy's. You know what I mean?
Holes cash and all.
Coles cash. Yeah, just.
Well, that's the thing, America. Man, is we're paying Duncan McGuire so little that he needs the Coles cash.
Right, yeah, bro, get him. Let's put this together. Our Coles cash together and donate to Duncan.
Like, why do we not even blink at giving Ertan Carr a $2 million, giving
right.
Muriel, which we're assuming is another $1 to $2 million.
I'm saying $4 million. He's getting paid $4 million. I'm gonna put money on that. The over under I'm setting is at $3.5 million for Muriel.
But yeah, well, clearly your answer, you answered it.
If we did, that makes it even more illogical to me.
Right. Anyway, clearly so answered your question.
You have a guy and you see him do what he's doing.
Right.
And then, I don't get it. Look, if there was zero chance of him having interest of staying in America and playing,
yeah,
he would have never been at the negotiating table in the first place.
Fair. Cleon, I think the people don't blink because of what you answered the question earlier. Because they have European pedigree, it's just assumed that that's the case, right? But I think Duncan, with the interest he got in the championship, which is it's a good league, and the way he's produced again this year. And I'm telling you, if you just really watch him, he has improved. He's more well rounded. The way he's combining, the way he's connecting the runs, he still has stuff to learn. He needs to tailor Twoman to edit. He needs to make more unselfish runs. But bro, at the same time, unselfish to what? Like exactly. you're eating scraps, bro.
We had that talk like an episode or two ago. Yeah. Talking about how they're trying to coach that out of him.
Right. Why? I get it. And look, Oscar said the same about DK too.
Buddy Ryan, all he does is catch touchdowns.
Oscar said the same about DK, and I've harped on him for years. I pulled the stats out, and it's become well known in the fan base. About the record was what 13 now with Duncan goals under Oscar's system. The strikers he liked was Tesho, who's Mr. Unselfish, and Max Arruti, who had 12 and he played like every single second of that season. And those were unselfish guys making those unselfish runs. Duncan's doing it, Denzel Washington. I'm leaving here with something. I'm getting one cross. I'm gonna make something happen. So I respect that because honestly, where would we be? It's hard to tell where we would be if he wasn't like that, because where would our goals come from? Theoretically, you would say a selfish run will open it up to who? Angulo? To Brickett? Or it would open it up to Faku? Okay, maybe. It would open it to Ojeda. We all say he should play more, but it's not like he scored a ton of goals either. Not like he's
how many times have we seen Duncan make perfect layoff passes to people in the box, and they don't score well?
Right.
A 3-assist is insane to me.
Oh, yeah.
I literally can think of like 10, 12, 15 friggin' picture perfect placement passes to people in the box over this year and change now that we've seen. And it's only been capitalized 3 times.
Remember last year in the playoffs, that reverse pass, right? He held it up, just no look reverse pass to Angulo, played himself in. Angulo dilly dally and got the ball taken off of him. I mean, just that alone was elite pass and just nothing. So yeah, absolutely. But I'm saying if you just watch the guy play, how many times he chested down, how many times in traffic, how many times does he connect? How many times is he making these runs? He's going wider out now too and taking space. He's improving. But also I think at this point personally, I see the logic in that he did negotiate, but the fact that we blew it initially with him, we didn't pay him. And, you know, I'm not one of those bootlickers who's like, well, you got a contract, you got to honor it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, screw that. And, So, your salary, you negotiate whatever, you're worth what you can negotiate. And he's proven he's worth more than 90% of that stadium makes, or the people at the stadium make. And he's proven that. And the interest abroad confirmed that. What he was going to get paid confirmed that. So I honestly think that the fact that we blew it already and the fact that he's older, he's not 20, 21, the window to go to Europe is going to close sooner for him. The window is probably a quarter closed already, given his age, that he doesn't maybe want to sign too long term. If he does a new deal, if I'm him, I do a 2-year or one-on-one kind of thing. You know, with some kind of way, maybe get a release clause in there so someone could just boom, cash it. He works the money with them and there's no way that they can stop it. That's what I would do. But I honestly think it's logical that he was at a negotiating table, but given what went down and his age, I think the likelihood of him staying is less. I think if I were to put a wager on it, I think it's likely he wouldn't take a deal or stay here. Because frankly, he's proven he should be in overseas. And yes, that is his dream to be in Europe. And that should be his dream, frankly. I think it's, if I'm a soccer player, I'd rather play in a championship than an MLS every day, personally.
Yeah, and that's definitely the difficult thing. And Eddie, honestly, you make a good point, is maybe the bridge has already been burnt. You know,
he's a cut class guy. He's not going to show it on the field.
Like if this team, especially in this state, is going to sit there and take that type of attitude to where, oh, I messed up, so I'm just going to sit back and not even. They literally got handed a second chance on a platter.
Right.
And they have months to do something about it. They that at this point they should see. Like we said a million times, he's not even supposed to be here. He's supposed to be gone already. If he's not here, you should be able to see. You can't afford to let him walk out at this point.
And we're 13th with him. Imagine without him.
If they have to sell Duncan in the summer, which is, yes, the most likely scenario. But if they are just sitting on their hands and letting it happen and not even trying to fix it, then I don't know what to tell you.
And so, even if we sell him later, like if we get this contract done and we make him a higher paid player, and that will motivate him that much more, and B, it'll up his profile, and C, even later, we still have the option to sell him and give him the goodwill, but he'll be worth more. And that's a big thing that we could benefit
from. For me, it's not even none of that. Like it's, for me, it's I don't think, and like I said, I'm not him, so I don't know. I don't have access to his family, so I don't know. I don't have inside information. But I do not think he is one of these. One, would he like to play in English and championship? Sure. Right? But I don't think he's one of those, there's no way in hell I'm ever staying and playing in America type of people. I don't think so. Staying and playing for peanuts? Yeah, no, I'm out of here. But if you were to sit and tell you, I'm going to make you my Clint Dempsey, my Taylor Twelfth, one of these lifelong dudes, and they're like the face and Morris. They're the guy. They made millions of dollars in the thing, this out of whatever. Yeah. At the end of the day, that's what it's about, is making, as long as he's still able to make the national team and make his money for his family, for set himself up for the future and things like that. I don't think he's one of these people is he's just so anti-American soccer that I'm out of here no matter what types of people.
And I do want to just go ahead. I want to go ahead and jump in here. And first, you said you don't have connections to his family or anything like that. But I will say, anytime we tweet about him, his mom likes every one of our posts. So
he said she did on mine too. When she said he's a DP. The one I put where he's a DP, full stop.
I am going to go ahead and end this conversation here, because we do want to go ahead and move along to other things, because we're already almost, 50 minutes into this episode and we got a couple other things we want to talk about. But Spotify gives me an option to go ahead and put a poll on our post. So if you're listening to this on Spotify right now, go ahead and look for the poll. I'm going to go ahead and make it. If you could buy out a DP on our team and make Duncan a designated player, would you do it? It's probably going to be worded differently than that, but that's what the poll question is going to be. So go ahead and select either yes or no on that. But that brings us to the month of May. Guys, May is a gauntlet. This weekend we have at home against Cincinnati, second in the Supporter Shield standings at the moment. Philadelphia away, home against Fort Lauderdale midweek, away to San Jose, home against Columbus, away to Chicago. I put up a post after this past game, and I just asked, how many points do you think we get in May? I didn't put anything out there trying to sway people one way or the other. Just I saw the games, and I said, there is a lot of games here that are tough. I want to know what – we like what we think is possible here. I got, I think, about 26 responses that were actually a number. The lowest number that I got was 1. The highest number that I got was 9 out of a possible 18 points. And the average amongst those 26 replies was 4.6 points. So out of that 18 points, if we get 4.6, I'm going to round up and call that 5. That puts us at 14 points on the season through 15 games. When we got to the point to where people were banging the drum for change last year, that was 10 games in and we had 14 points. We're 9 games in right now with 9 points. That scenario plays out. We're 15 games in with 14 points. May is going to be a gauntlet to get through that, guys. The question really is, what do we do to fix it? Ryder, I'm going to go ahead and start with you. What do you have any ideas on what happens here? What we think we need?
I mean, the most obvious one is we need to consistently start Ojeda. I know we're going to, especially in that middle of the month with a ring around the rosy, 3 matches in 7 days, Philly, Miami, and San Jose. That's a lot of traveling. We're not going to be able to start Ojeda all 3 of those matches. But putting him in there and letting him cook is going to be essential. And I think, unfortunately, the same with Duncan. On the defensive side, just cohesion. And I'm a little scared to find out what that's going to be like because we don't know. We haven't heard, at least I haven't, details on how long Brocalo is going to be out. So we got to figure that out, and we got to figure out quickly because the midfield is at least somewhat clicking and we have to improve. And the other thing is, and I know this is obvious and I'm sure Eddie will get in the more details on the what of the tactics, but the tactics have to be better. We have to play to our strengths, like Eddie was talking about earlier. We have to play to what we can do, not what we think we should be doing. And we can't be chasing games when they're already gone. We have to chase games when they're still in front of us. So I will also say, I told you when you asked this in the chat, 5 points, and 3 of those are coming from Chicago. I don't know where the other 2 are coming from, because the month of May is going to make March and April look like the good old days for Orlando City. And I think the fan base needs to get ready for that and accept that we're going to be in a bad place when we're heading right towards summertime sadness. Just is what it is.
Oof. Don't like to hear that. Eddie, I'm going to go to you now. What are your thoughts on what can turn things around right now?
I don't like to be pessimistic. I really don't. I really, like to be, try to think positive, but this is a crazy stretch, man. This is going to be, everyone talks about we started off like garbage last year. We were trash, like this old Orlando City jersey. We were trash, the worst one ever, the faux collar. If you disagree, you're nuts. But we were trash, and then we turned it around. But the games are coming in, like you said, Mike. It's about even now from where everybody was freaking out last year. And but the turnaround time started around now when we get to the double pivot, etc. And then we got this gauntlet during the time we need to turn things around. So, San Jose is trash, but we got to go across the country on our 3rd game in a week. So, man, they're not going to lose every match. So they got to get points too, and they're not that much worse than us. Release numbers-wise, I haven't really watched them. But you would think that's a 3-pointer in the way we played in a row last year. Well, you would think, but that's tough. And then Philly, you got to think we're underdogging that. Miami, they're top of the league right now. They're Messi's gone crazy. He looked bad for like a game against the Mexican team. And then since then, they stepped on his jersey. He's gone crazy. Thanks a lot, Mexicans, for that. Messi's gone nuts since then. I said he was washed, and I guess he's not. But I didn't mean it anyways, but I was hoping so. But we're, you know, even at home, and we can't say, oh, well, it's at home. Look, we just lost at home to Toronto. We're not good at home. We're just not good. So it's tough. And then we got Columbus and we got Cincinnati this Saturday at home. Cincinnati's second in the East. We're at 1.8, I think. And their defense, they don't score much more than us. They got one more goal than us, but they've allowed half the amount of goals we have. It's going to be tough to break them down. It's going to be a battle of Brexit on Saturday. Let's see who does it better. And at the end of the day, I trust, you know, they have a game-changing kind of player with Lucho. He always gets us, and we don't really have anybody like that. Oh, I thought 7 points was not really optimistic, but given the average, I guess that is optimistic. And those seven were from beating San Jose, beating Chicago, and, you know, Orlando does some random draw against Philly on the road like we did last year. We beat them on the road. And or we'll draw the Crew somehow because we tend to play them pretty well, pretty good. That's where my seventh point came from. But honestly, this is the stretch we need to turn things around, and this is a gauntlet. This is a tough stretch, and I am trying to be optimistic, but my brain is just saying I just don't see it. The only thing that's holding out a bit of hope is just I don't like to go in just thinking we're going to lose, and you know I'm almost getting apathetic in some ways. But the only thing that is getting me excited. Or not, sorry, slightly optimistic, is that the first half, how we embraced the long balls and we embraced the vertical game over the top. Given that we're facing underdogs, Oscar tends to do that against better teams, right? So maybe we embrace that against Miami. People have shown that you can exploit the gaps because they don't have people who are playing a lot of defense. Maybe we do that against Philly. That's how we beat them last year. And then going on the road, he does that anyway. So I think these matches are set up in a way where Oscar's going to go back to, you know, suffer ball, kind of haram ball, and just get these long balls and get going. And maybe we figure it out. I mean, we hadn't lost in four before this last match. But hopefully he embraces some of that ugliness and is pragmatic in that way. And I think that's our only hope at this point. Last year, I said, I said around this time, double pivot, let's be hard to beat. Right now, it's let's be hard to beat and let's play on the counterattack. Sam Allardyce, you know, Tony Pulis, whatever you want to call it. It's time to you know, get your Mourinho on and let's be tough to beat and counterattack. And we're facing teams and we're on the road. This is the time to do it. If not now, when? Because this is, if we don't get this straight through, I think we're not making the playoffs. And some of the fan base will be fine making the last seed, but given how we finished last year and how we were trending, that is a catastrophic failure of a season, even if we make the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think especially the expectation that was put on us this year is just it's weighing so heavily right now on where we're at. Granted, we're at a point right now where we're still only 4 points out of an automatic qualifying, not a play-in position for the playoffs. It's still early. Let's get that clear. Everyone, we understand that it is still early, but, you know, if we get to 15 games in, that's actually almost halfway through the season now. If that's where we're sitting, and sometimes it's too big of a mountain to climb. Cleon, do you have any ideas on how you're feeling about that?
Like what Alex said too. We're not winning tiebreakers. We don't win a lot, and we're not goal differential isn't the key. So it's early now, but it's not early at the end of May. That's the point, you know. Right now, okay, but in a month, it's not early anymore. It's halfway time, like you said.
Yeah, the thing is, though, I mean, in a month, it's too late. If you ask me, everybody says it's too early, but. Okay, then what you think you're supposed to fix it once you get to the point of no return? Like, it's too late by then. So we shouldn't worry about it when it's too early. You should worry about it when it's too late. Like, that don't make any sense.
And it's not like this team's going to go into the playoffs having to go on the road and actually
playoffs. Playoffs.
If we make it in,
I just want to win a game.
I agree with you, but like,
if we just want to score a goal at this point.
More than one. That's what I want. I want more than one goal.
I mean, God, bro. Like, this is crazy. This is crazy. No, it ain't too early, man. It ain't too early. It's not too early. No. I'm packing this one straight on to the too early from last year where we stopped and then they turned it around. This is a continuation of that first half after we got eliminated by Charlotte. So is that on top of this for me? It ain't too early. No, you need to fix it, bro. Immediately. Immediately. Because it's going to be too late. I can promise you that. And Miami ain't going to be as bad as they were last. That's one less spot right there. I could promise you that. Because Miami didn't even get up in there last year. So you might as well say you're not even. That's one less spot getting in because they already in. Damn near. So, I mean, we're a quarter of the way through. We're a quarter of the way through the season already. You know what I mean? Like, it's not too early. It's not. People can say all they want to, but it's losers. There's loser mentality, bro. Like, you need to get in there and fix that right now. You're supposed to be a top team, bro. You're supposed to be a top team. It don't just happen because I say I'm the man, then I show up and everybody lays down for me. You know what I mean? This ain't no Jake Paul fight, bro. Like, you're going to actually have to knock somebody out. Like, legit. That actually knows how to box back.
Shout out Mike Tyson. Boxing Jake Paul with his AARP card. All right, guys. Cincinnati this week on May the 4th, also known as Robin Yonson bobblehead night, if you pre-ordered one, because they don't give out bobbleheads for free anymore.
I'm sorry.
What is that? This Saturday?
This is the biggest giant miss opportunity I've ever seen in my life. They were making bobbleheads and they chose Robin Yonson over the obvious choice of Jack Lynn.
God damn, man.
Damn. Wow.
Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
I think they might
bobblehead doll and didn't choose the actual lifelike bobblehead person.
Yeah, Cleon, I was saving that for the end, but there is going to be a commemorative Funko Pop at the end of the season with Jack Lynn.
Wow.
I'm just joking.
Missed opportunity.
Cleon, I'm going to go to you first. I'm going in reverse order from before. Predictions for the game against FC Cincinnati. Only thing I'm going to add before that is that apparently DeAndre Yedlin left the game last week with an injury. So likely DeAndre Yedlin is going to be out this weekend.
Don't make no difference. Loss.
You got the scoreline?
There's an L. It's a fat one, too. I'm gonna say 3-1 L.
Oof. 3-1. That's a lot because they don't score a lot. Oh, I'm gonna say 2-0 L. Lucho gets one and some other person. I don't know. It's on their team anymore. But Lucho's gonna get one on us because what he does. It's going to Rob Brekalo's going to Brekalo more like, you know, that pass more like break a leg, you know, that garbage pass. Who knows how hurt he is. So I'm thinking Rodrigo just get cooked by Lucho and something will happen. He's due for a red card, a little Argentine violence.
Oh, it's coming once Messi gets hold of him.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm going to be optimistic. I'm not going to 2-0. I'm going to be optimistic 2-1. We lose still 2-1.
Alex.
Duncan does it again.
And then gets subbed up.
Alex, what's your prediction?
My prediction is a 2-2 draw. And I will say this. We also need the big key here. I was listening a little bit to our friends at Cincy Soccer Talk before the pod, and we're talking about how Lucho is on yellow card accumulation, and if he gets one in this match, he's suspended for their match against Columbus. So look for him to maybe not be as aggressive, and I think this is where we might benefit from Schlegel being in the match instead of Brekalo to goad him on a little bit and get him yellow carded so that he...
Yeah, but they ain't going to do no good for us.
Yeah, no, but I don't think he is going to be very aggressive. I don't think we're going to win this game. There's no way in hell is real or whatever that thing is called that we're going to win this match. I will be absolutely shocked after the performance I saw at home. I don't care if the force is with us or not. This is not a match we can win.
Yeah. But Lucho and Rodrigo, they probably go back to neighborhood beefs, you know? Columbus Crew, that's a local derby or whatever. But you know, they go back to Rosario versus whatever River Plate, you know, beefs. So, but hey, Mike, a quick question though. You are a betting guy, wager guy, you know, MGM, whatever. Can you bet on one of the Argentines getting a yellow card? Because that's happening. that's the case. You send me a referral link. Send me a referral link. I'll send you a couple bucks. You know,
I'll send you a referral link, but they don't do betting based on nationality because I think that sounds like it's illegal and it's probably a problem. Okay.
Yeah. I get it, but I'm saying can I bet on them to get a yellow? I'm just gonna I'm gonna filter it based on nationality.
Between these two. I know at least with like Premier League games, I think you can bet on people to get a yellow card. I don't know if they have it set up that way for MLS because MLS, let's be realistic, they don't put their research into the betting lines and stuff for that stuff. Right. But
you can pay your mortgage betting on Wilder or Jansen getting yellows anyways. You can pay your mortgage.
Pretty much. Probably. Yeah. So for me, I'm going to go ahead. I'm predicting a Poppy special. But it's going to be a Noonan special. It's going to be 1-0 Cincinnati.
I guess
because sure. It paid back for when we beat them 1-0 in their home last year. They're going to beat us 1-0 in our home. It's a shame, man. I'm with you, Eddie. I try and be optimistic where I can. But this performance this past week just took so much out of me.
It ain't there, dude.
Exactly.
I don't see the answer, you know, because even when we're winning or playing good, it's not that good. We haven't been hard done by. We haven't had a bad call. We haven't been screwed. We haven't really missed clear chances. Like, you know, I mean, there's some underlying numbers there, but under X this, X that, how about X eyes, you know? Like, do we look good? No, we don't, you know?
Well, there you have it, guys. Preview for Cincinnati. We got 3 losses and 1 draw. So to give you an idea how we feel about it, is not good. But we'll move on to shout outs there. I'm going to go ahead and lead us off on this one, guys, because I got 2. First, I want to go ahead and give a shout out to Luana from Orlando Pride. She was diagnosed with a form of cancer today and got put on the season ending injury list. Just wanted to go ahead and shout her out and wish her a speedy recovery. Cause the Pride have been that, you know, we don't cover the Pride as much on this show just cause you know, we talk about them occasionally, but yeah, I mean, we just don't really have the time to focus on that. But they're kicking butt so far this year. So right now the winning team in Orlando, it's the Magic and the Pride. So it's certainly not us at this point. And then the other shout out is I'm going to go ahead and shout out Joel Embiid for being a crybaby. Being a big Knicks fan, I've been enjoying the playoffs, and he's been crying about the fact that Knicks fans took over Wells Fargo Arena. And he also scored 1 point in the fourth quarter. So why don't you go ahead and cry about you not being good rather than your fans selling their tickets to Knicks fans. So
we just told this man stop talking about New York sports on this podcast. Man, he's gonna do it back to back.
Notice how he's not talking about the Mets today.
No, Severino had a no hitter going through 7 and then we lost.
Bro. Yeah, my ass. Yeah. Oh, to the Cubbies.
To the Cubs.
Yeah. The Cubbies swept my Astros. And, you know, we had a good run though. 2 World Series in 6 years. So I'll take it.
You'll bang that drum all you need to, man.
Bro, that's it. You know what? Yeah. I'll stand on it. Let's go. Yeah. Right, we only win when we're in Mexico. We can't even win the U.S. anymore.
Who do you got for a shout out, Eddie?
Oh, shout out to Mexico. I'm just kidding. You know what? Shout out to you. Know, let's stick it to, let's go with the Pride thing, right? Since let's make this actually we talk about it because it's just you until now. Seb Hines, buddy. Seb Hines,
headmaster
of the Pride. They got the They got them cooking. And you know what? From the little I've seen, he's embraced some Brexit ball, embraced his roots. You know, they score off the set pieces, that kind of stuff, and they defend well. So good for you, Seb Hines. Way to embrace your Midlands culture and then embrace the Brexit of putting the Brexit ball or whatever, the Britain and Brexit ball or whatever. Shout out to him and shout out to shout out to, I don't want to jinx it, but the run, 3 games left in the Premier League. You know, my team's still in it. And shout out to Spurs for hopefully they beat. I'm going to shout out Fulham, Spurs, and West Ham. If they could just draw against 115 charges, you know, oil-funded team, Man City, the world would be a better place. You've seen those memes with the future. It looks great and everything's clean and new. That's what would happen. I promise you. You could take my word for it. Cross my heart. Hope to die. You know,
got a shout out
if Arsenal
too,
wins,
Wolves also.
They got Wolves too. Yeah, we got 3 games. They got 4. They got one in hand. True. If Arsenal wins, the world will be a better place. At least for me. Just give me that. Orlando City sucks. Astros are trash. The Suns mortgage their next 15 years of picks to get swept by the Wolves. Let me have something. Go Pride. That's how deep I'm in the mud. I just said that, Cleon. You know me. You know. That's Cleon. That's how much of the mud I am.
Cleon, give me a shout out here, and then we're gonna end on Ryder.
Yeah, I'm gonna shout out Eddie's non-ending, forever going, fake butt kissing he does when he says things he really don't care about. But yeah, I'm gonna shout that out because it's one thing that man is consistent. So.
Shout out to Eddie. I'm a roll. Yeah. Cleon knows him right now. Cleon's like, I'm not buying it.
That and JJ's just saying things and throwing them to the wall, see if they stick. Them two things right there, consistent as ever. Never changed.
JJ, the Anthony Mason of our team, of our squad. Remember to say the Kings of Comedy fights too much.
All right, Ryder, got any shout outs for us?
Do I ever? It happened, boys and girls. Caleb Williams is a Chicago Bear. And the Bears drafted Rome. How is his name pronounced? Is it Rome Odunze or?
Odunze.
Odunze, thank you. Rome Odunze. And we are stacked. Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, DeAndre Swift, Khalil Herbert, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet. This team is giving me so much hope. And it was a moment that it's just like surreal that the Chicago Bears, for the first time since 1947, picked in the first overall. And they picked a quarterback. And I know what everybody's going to say. It's what my mother texted me because she's been doing this longer and she cursed me with this fan base, but yeah, Chicago might be where quarterbacks' careers go to die. And yes, we've drafted several in the first round over the last 20 years. And yes, we've had 38 starting quarterbacks in my lifetime. But if I can't have hope that this is it, that this is the team that is finally one day going to end my pain and suffering as a Chicago Bears fan for my entire life, then I might as well just give up. So shout out to the Chicago Bears. Shout out to Ryan Poles. Please, for the love of all that is holy, back up the talk, back up the picks, and let's do something about it. Let's win. Bear poor down, man. Chicago Bears.
I'm going to go ahead here.
Poor guy.
I'm going to go ahead and say you are the biggest Ted Lasso fan out of all of us, and you know better than anybody it's the hope that kills you.
I it's literally what my mother texted me after the Chicago is where quarterbacks go to die. It's the, I can't get my hopes up. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm getting my hopes up. I'm getting excited. And they're not going to break my heart this time. They're actually going to have a good team.
Well, we wish you well. And this is a friendly reminder.
This hope's going to be broken by what week you putting that number on? 4.
When I play the Packers,
week 4.
No, 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 no. We're gonna beat the Packers at least once this year. I need that for my soul. We have
Someone needs to clip the writer shout outs for the preceding unfortunate events or whatever.
I'm gonna go ahead and just jump in real quick and remind you, writer, that the group chat is always here for your emotional support when things start going sideways. Because at least with me being a Giants fan, I just already know that things are going to be sideways. It don't matter. I'm already ready.
Well, that's what happens when you pay Daniel Jones.
No. We stop that. Yeah. Anyways,
like, guys, my team lost in the last play of overtime, the Super Bowl. So
at least we aren't the Falcons.
There we go. We'll go with that. So let's go ahead. I'm ending the show here.
But before Michael Penix Jr.
Michael, who?
Will you let me talk? Guys, come on. Anywho, we'll talk about that after. I said that I was going to be teasing an announcement for the end of the show here. So let's do that. We are hosting a watch party at Hourglass Brewing on 6-1. That is the away game against the New York Red Bulls. And we are actually having a custom beer being brewed by Hourglass Brewing for Orlando Lions Den. We're going to have more details. We're going to try and work on some stuff, get some giveaways going, get some fun stuff going. We really want you all to come out there. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's Hourglass Brewing that's on the Curry Ford Road. They've been awesome to work with. I'm sure that we might even get one of the guys from Hourglass Brewing to be on the show just to talk with him about the process and all the fun stuff that we got going on. But that's... we're going to have more details for you, especially as we, like, you know, settle on the name of the beer and the thing that we're making. But we want you all to be there. We know that we have a lot of you that listen in week in and week out. So we're super stoked about it. We hope that you'll be there with us on 6-1. It's going to be a lot of fun. So super cool opportunity that came up for us. We're jazzed as heck about it. So with that being said, though, it's going to be a great time. I have a bunch.
Y'all don't tell me nothing.
Open the group chat, Cleon.
Yeah, we got a Texas guy now.
We've been talking about the name for weeks.
Yeah.
Anywho.
The name that's leading, Cleon, was inspired from one of your, you know?
Yeah, it's one of your phrases. You helped name the beer. Anyways. Vamos, yeah. Orlando, guys. Hopefully we're all wrong about our predictions against Cincinnati and we get this dub. If not, we'll be there for the Den After Dark to go ahead and vent together. And we'll see you guys next week. Vamos.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den. Oh,